So I don't know if that's what this person was doing. I wasn't there. But obviously, whoever, if somebody did manage to get these photographs, and if somebody is trying to sell them, I must say it'll be very, well, maybe interesting is the right word to say, who will pay a lot of money for it. I would suggest that it will probably be somebody who's very hungry for a reputation, who maybe doesn't have a very strong and established reputation. And there is always somebody out
Benedict,
there in the market to do that.
Let us leave it there for a moment. Details still emerging of the accident in Paris at around midnight Paris time involving Diana, Princess of Wales. And it has just been reported that Robin Cook, the British Foreign Secretary, who's currently on a four-nation tour of the Far East, has delayed his departure from the capital of the Philippines, Manila, for what is described as an important announcement about the health of Diana, Princess of Wales. I'm now joined again by our correspondent in Paris, Stephen Jessel. Stephen, is there any further detail emerging of the circumstances of this crash?
No, not really. The details have been known for some time now. What is new is this very disturbing news from the Far East that you've just given. Superficially, initially, it seemed that maybe Diana, Princess of Wales, had escaped relatively lightly. I recall that the initial report said that she had a broken arm, concussion and lacerations to her thigh. Superficially, initially, it seemed that maybe Diana, Princess of Wales, had escaped relatively lightly. I recall that the initial report said that she had a broken arm, concussion and lacerations to her thigh, none of which themselves, although unpleasant, would be particularly life-threatening. However, there are reports that she's in a reanimation area of the hospital, which suggests that maybe she is in a slightly more serious condition than we had thought before. The details still appear to be as they've been all night, which is to say that the car was travelling extremely fast in an attempt to escape the attentions of these paparazzi who were on motorcycles or scooters. For reasons we don't yet know, it seems to have struck a wall, spun round, and been involved in collision with a number of other vehicles. It took the police and emergency teams some time to clear away the debris.
We are seeing the debris at the moment, Stephen. Badly crushed car. The roof caved in, the bonnet and the engine caved in.
Well, if that is the princess's car, then obviously that's extremely serious, because if the car has been damaged to that extent, clearly the people inside it must have undergone some considerable injuries. The princess, as we speak, is in a hospital, the La Pitié-Salpêtrière. It's a large hospital in the 13th arrondissement of Paris.
How far away is that from the accident
itself?
Two
or three kilometres. If you've got a police escort, and I think we can assume the ambulance would have had a police escort, it wouldn't take very long to get there. It's a question of going down some fairly broad boulevards. The French emergency services are good. The French health service is a good health service. I don't think one need be worried about the quality of the medical care she's getting. What is deeply disturbing is the evidence, as you've just pointed out, that the car does seem to have been almost crushed, and that has obvious implications.
And just remind us, as we look at again at the images of the very badly twisted car, which has been brought out from the underpass under the Pont d'Alma, it is reported that Princess Diana and Dodi Al-Fayed, who we now know was killed in the accident, that they had been dining at the Ritz Hotel owned by his father, Mohammed Al-Fayed. How far away is this location from the Ritz?
Not very far. It's not entirely clear if they'd had dinner at the Ritz.
He's delayed his visit. We can now return to Paris and our correspondent, Stephen Jessel. Stephen, he was mentioning there the British ambassador, Sir Michael Jay, who was posted there last year, having had a very successful career negotiating Britain's position in Europe during the difficult times under the previous Tory administration. What is your view of what is now happening at the hospital?
Well, I'm worried by the lack of any news or the lack of any statement. I mean, we've got this report about the concussion and about the broken arm and about the cuts to her thigh. But I think it is slightly disturbing that we haven't had some sort of official communique giving the state health and giving some indication of what might happen next. I don't think that's a terribly encouraging sign. As I say, superficially, concussion, a broken arm, lacerations of the thigh shouldn't give enormous cause for concern. But one wonders if one is being told the whole truth at the moment.
Stephen, I have to interrupt there because within the last few moments, the Press Association in Britain, citing unnamed British sources, has reported that Diana, Princess of Wales, has died.
Say, superficially, concussion, a broken arm, lacerations of the thigh shouldn't give enormous cause for concern.
Good morning. We've broken into the usual schedules this morning to bring you a special programme on Diana, Princess of Wales, who died a few hours ago. She was killed in a Paris car crash, robbing the nation and the world of a woman they'd taken to their hearts at the age of just 36. The princess died under the same spotlight in which she'd lived most of her life, fleeing with her friend Dodie Fayed from the press photographers who dogged her every step. Their Mercedes car careered out of control in a tunnel alongside the River Seine shortly after midnight. Surgeons fought for 2 hours to control bleeding in her chest, but were unable to keep her heart going. They declared her dead at 4 o'clock this morning. Dodie Fayed died at the scene of the crash, as did their driver. In the coming hours, we'll be looking back at Diana's remarkable life and hearing from those around the world whose lives she touched. Well, with me throughout in the studio will be ITN's royal correspondent, Nicholas Owen, and we have correspondents at Buckingham Palace and Kensington Palace here in London, at Balmoral, where the rest of the royal family is coming to terms with the news, and of course in Paris itself. But first, Caroline Kerr reports on the terrible events of last night.
It was here, in an underground tunnel alongside the River Seine, that the fatal accident occurred in the early hours of this morning. The Mercedes in which the princess had been travelling with Dodie Fayed was wrecked beyond recognition. It had veered out of control as it entered the tunnel, apparently travelling at high speed. Some of the first to get there described what they saw.
One of the first three people in the tunnel. The driver was unconscious, sounding the horn for like probably almost 2 minutes. Like she said, I approached the car, got probably 30 feet away, noticed liquid and a gentleman running at me. Shouting and waving to leave the tunnel. We exited, sat at the mouth of the tunnel. It was probably 3-4 minutes after that the police arrived.
Witnesses confirmed that photographers were there at the time of the crash.
The gentleman who was taking pictures was there immediately following the accident. And his camera equipment was far too sophisticated for a tourist.
And there was a lot of arguing on the scene, a lot of loud arguing on the scene. And it was definitely with the photographer.
Ambulance workers initially managed to revive the princess, but at the hospital where she was taken, the surgeon who treated her said that her heart had already stopped by the time she reached the operating table.
Par le SAMU de Paris qui a effectué la réanimation initiale.
When she arrived at the hospital, she was already suffering hemorrhaging in the thorax. Then she suffered a stroke. The lung vein was badly injured, despite the care and the heart massage, which was administered for 2 hours. Her death was recorded at 4 o'clock in the morning.
All right, y'all. We are back. Back with another video, and as y'all can tell, today we are talking about Princess Diana and the royal family and the possible sacrifice of Princess Diana and her lover, Dodie Fayed, right? So I wanted to show those clips in the beginning. I know they were kind of long, but you know, so we could have some texture and kind of feel like we're in the moment of watching her death unfold as it happened, basically, from news clips back in 97. Now, things start to get a little confusing with Princess Diana's death because there's so much, you know, there's a lot of different stories on what happened on scene as far as the witnesses, as far as the paparazzi and reporters and police officers that were on scene. And it just gets all over the place. So I think I found a good article that kind of contradicts a few things that were even in the news clips that we showed. But it kind of gives us a little bit of details of what might have actually happened the night that she died. Now, we're going to go over this article real quick just to dig into a few inconsistencies that I found. Now, it says Princess Diana was conscious after the fatal crash in Paris last August and aware that Dodi Al-Fayed was lying dead beside her in the car. Accounts of her last 4 hours published Thursday include details of the desperate attempts by doctors to save her life when it was discovered that she was dying from an internal hemorrhage. Although she only had one visible injury, a cut on her forehead. Now, if you remember in the clips, I played it twice, that they said she had a concussion, a laceration on her thigh, and a broken arm. But in this article, it's saying that she only had one visible injury, which was a cut on her forehead. Now, maybe you may not notice when someone's arm is broken or a laceration on the thigh. I mean, you know, obviously she had clothes on. But I found that pretty odd for them to say she only had one visible injury. Now, says, according to a new book, which obviously, you know, people love to put this kind of stuff in a book so they can make money off of it. When the emergency workers arrived, they gave priority to her bodyguard, who appeared to be more seriously injured. Police, ambulance attendants, and doctors implicitly, they contradicted claims by Mohammed Al-Fayed, Dodi's father, that Diana was able to talk when she reached the hospital more than an hour after her chauffeur ran into the pillar in the tunnel. So they're basically saying that it was contradicted by claims of the dad that she was able to talk, right? So it moves on saying details of Diana's last hours were compiled by two journalists from the magazine El Express. It was for a book published in France. They clarify many of the obscure and misleading points surrounding the crash and provide medical details that have been kept quiet because there has been no public inquest about them, as well as confirming that photographers pursuing the car on motorcycles were the first on the scene and were involved in scuffles with the police and public while they took pictures. Among them was a pedestrian who was the first to open the car door and see the princess on the floor, and she was sobbing, "My God, my God." Now, they said that they opened the car door and to see the princess on the floor, sobbing, "My God, my God," right? A photographer who's under suspicion of failing to help Diana said he pulled the door further open and found the princess trapped between the front and back seats and covered by a rug. He lifted her head to see if she was alive and heard her moaning. He told her in English that a doctor was on the way and then went to help Riz Jones in the front seat. Jones survived the crash despite severe facial injuries. Confirmation of Diana's consciousness was given by the first policeman on the scene, who complained of being shoved by photographers as he tried to get her out. So it seems these photographers and paparazzi was like, you know, they were going crazy as far as even trying to let the policeman get on the scene. The princess has turned round in relation to her initial seating position, and her head was between the two seats, and she could see her friend in the front of her, Dorsey said, right? That's the person that is telling the account. Her eyes were open, and she moved, talking to me in a foreign language. When she saw her friend was dead, I think she said, "My God." At the same time, she rubbed her stomach. She must have felt pain. While he was trying to get her out, she turned her head and realized that the driver, Henry Paul, was also dead. She became irritated, he added. A few seconds afterwards, she looked at me and then closed her eyes, maybe going unconscious. And it says, according to the book, emergency services arrived at 12:38 a.m., 6 minutes after the crash, but it was an hour before Diana was actually removed from the wreck. While the medical team removed her from the vehicle, she had the first of a number of heart attacks and had to be revived by massage. At 1:30 a.m., it was decided to take her to the hospital. I don't know why it was decided over that long later to take her to the hospital, but that is neither here nor there. The ambulance drove at about 20 miles per hour and had to stop for 5 minutes because Diana's heart started failing. Odd why they would mention how fast the ambulance drove and the fact that they had to stop because her heart was failing. I'm not sure why they would stop when they have, you know, the tools to work on her inside of the ambulance, or at least, you know, as far as giving her more massage at the heart. But that's neither here nor there either. It said the surgeon who treated her said the hemorrhage was discovered only after x-rays. Princess Diana's chest had been compressed in the crash, damaging both her right lung and her heart. By 3 a.m., her heart was kept pumping only by the injection of adrenaline and several electric shocks. Eventually, surgeons realized that her heart had given out, and they went on to register her death at 4 a.m. Now, this article, in a sense, it almost contradicts everything that they said, even in those news clips that I played in the beginning of the video, because nothing adds up. Nothing really makes sense with this entire crash. You know, even the way that the car looks and how everything is like ripped out of the car. Now, supposedly they hit other cars as well after it slammed into the pole. And, you know, they at first tried to blame it on the paparazzi's chasing her. They tried to say that the driver had a lot of alcohol in his system, so on and so on. But it kind of gives us those Kevin Hart vibes of when he got into that crash and supposedly broke his back. And the way that the car looked, how, you know, it was like completely smashed, as if like no one could ever possibly survive some shit like that. And another thing that I find odd is, you know, she was the only one that was took to the hospital. Well, it says someone else survived as well, that had a bunch of facial injuries, but they ended up surviving the crash somehow. But when I actually tried to look up the cause of death of her lover and the driver, I couldn't really find anything. They don't mention them much in the news articles or any of the news as it happened back in 97. This was, you know, obviously it's Princess Diana, you know, she's, you know, way more important than the people that, I'm not saying that the people that she died with, like, she's just more important, but she was more famous, more people care about what happened to her. But still, it was very odd that they both died on scene, and I couldn't find much of anything on why they died. You know, I mean, I guess we could guess because if her chest got compressed and damaged her lungs and heart, then maybe sort of the same thing happened to the front, to the two that were in the front. I'm going to assume Princess Diana was sitting in the back, and that's only my assumption. But I found that to be very odd, at the fact that I couldn't find anything on how those two actually died, or, you know, what exactly was the cause of death. And the car being completely destroyed, it just kind of doesn't make sense. Now, obviously, we know going at high speeds and you crash into a pole, a car could damn near be ripped in half. But I think there was definitely more involvement that made the car crash and look the way that it did, because there's so many different stories from eyewitnesses that we're going to get into a little bit more. So before I go on ranting, we're going to get to the next clip of this video. So go ahead and check this out. All right, y'all. Now, here is another article from another witness that was on scene, that just happened to arrive to the scene a few minutes after the crash happened, right? Now, some of the key points from this eyewitness testimony was a lot of things that you may be thinking so far watching this video, as far as how the scene was processed by, you know, the police and how long it actually took for the ambulance to get on scene. Now, this witness is saying, I remember saying to the guys at the time, is there an ambulance coming or something? As there was no sign of one arriving. After 15 or 20 minutes, there was still no paramedic on the scene. And I had said to my friends, damn, a junkie on Main Street would get waited on quicker than this. There was only one cop there that I could see who told us to get back. He kept saying, get away, get away. As the windows in the rear were dark, I could not see who was in the back. I was pleading with the officer to open the door. It looked like it could be pulled open. He wasn't doing shit. He wasn't doing anything. It was as if those there had decided nothing could be done. It's just my opinion, but it took them a long time to get her out. It could have been up to 30 minutes before help came. We were there for at least 15 minutes. Why wasn't an ambulance there quicker? Now, that's along the lines of the same thing that I was saying just when we were talking about the article that I was reading, because they said that, you know, it took an hour. It was like an hour to get her out of the car. So basically, that is clear that they murdered her. Now, I never heard an ambulance. The whole time I was there, I never heard a siren. My recollection was that there seemed to be an insurmountable time for an emergency vehicle to respond. I said to the guys, I'd hate to get into an accident in Paris and nobody shows up. It could have been that her chances of survival were significantly decreased by the amount of time it took for the paramedics to arrive, which is basically what I just said. That right there goes to show you that this was done on purpose. This was done so that they could not operate on her in the hospital in a timely manner, because they actually tried to operate on her and, you know, I guess sort of resuscitate her for an hour on the scene instead of focusing on getting her to the hospital. It's common sense that the longer someone is left, their chances of survival are less. When we left, there still wasn't an ambulance. The speed of which they responded was inadequate. And then it says, during the 18-month French inquiry into the accident, it was determined that the crash was caused by the driver, which we already know they tried to give us that he was drunk, traveling up to 65 miles per hour. It says, during the inquest in 2007, which was 10 years, it took them 10 years to actually investigate these people. Is actually insane. It emerged. It took an hour and 6 minutes. An hour and 6 minutes from the time Diana was taken from the wrecked car until she reached the hospital. The inquest heard the princess may have lived had French medics not squandered crucial minutes treating her at the scene. Then, just like I just said, he was also skeptical about the delay in getting Diana out of the wreckage, and claimed the door on her side could have been open. He said, I thought the car was in condition where you could open the door. I didn't feel there was enough damage to the car that you couldn't open the back door. Then it says, when the car eventually came out of the tunnel on a lorry, it was as big as a pancake. But when I saw it, one side wasn't. It was the side Princess Diana was on. I later learned the jaws of life were used. Then he goes on to say, why didn't they just open the door? She wasn't dead. She was actually talking, which we confirmed in the article that we just read. Now, this just goes with multiple eyewitness accounts who were actually on scene. Then you get this couple. The Firestone couple, Robin and Jack Firestone, who claim that they still live in fear for their lives after reporting seeing two dark and mysterious cars at the scene. But you get a lot of this stuff from different witnesses that just happened to be on the scene. A lot of people reported seeing different cars. There was even a white Fiat that was reported seeing that supposedly hours after they saw the Fiat, that car was actually repainted, and it was repainted to red. Now, this wasn't unveiled until like 2006 or 2005 in an interview, but the white Fiat was seen, you know, as the article read, it was seen like squirming out of the tunnel right after the wreckage. Then it came out years later that the car was actually resprayed hours after the wreckage. Now, we don't know why it was resprayed, but you have to remember, this is just from eyewitness accounts. There were a lot of people who gave accounts of that night, but it never really was considered. It was just sort of investigated around the time that they started the inquest. So, you know, in a sense, people just mock it up to be a conspiracy. Now, in this next clip, I'm just going to show you guys the Paul Mooney clip where he talks about Princess Diana and Queen Elizabeth. And then after that, we're going to just go over the few conspiracies that, you know, surround the entire case and wrap the video up. So with that being said, y'all check this out.
When it's outside, it's very clear who did what. Oh no, we can't look at the records until 5,000 years from now. It's always bullshit connected when it's an inside job. That English, that lady die shit, inside, they kill that bitch. The queen, that dirty, murdering, ugly ass bitch, she did it. Bitch. That was a hit. Prince Charles didn't want the body when it was alive. He sure broke his neck getting it when she was dead, because he knew his mammy killed her and he wanted to cover this shit up. And somebody with that high profile, 10 fucking years later, they decide to have a fucking autopsy? And the conclusion is the driver, her driver. Listen, when you drive for royalty or the fucking government, they check your mama's pussy in your booty hole. There are no surprises. That evil bitch did it. She stole all them diamonds she stole from Africa, stealing, murdering bitch. Ugly bitch. Oh, her mama's ugly, her daddy's ugly, her son is ugly. Her son's new wife looked like Dame Edna. That's ugly bitch. They all are ugly. Queen Elizabeth looks like sheep shit in shallow ass water. If she's the queen, what the fuck does the witch look like? Lady Di was cute. She had the it factor, whatever it is Lady Di had. They should have pulled her royal panties down and kissed the royal pussy. She brought beauty to them ugly ass motherfuckers. And the only reason they killed her, cause she was fucking that black Egyptian. They tell me she was pregnant by him. They didn't want to hear that shit. Talk about the presses chasing them. They was running for their goddamn life. Dirty bastards. Because every time they mentioned the accident, they never mentioned he was in the car. How come they don't say he was in the car? You never hear them talking about him. They don't want to bring him up. And her little friend writing the book, oh, she wasn't in love with him. It was some other little skinny white Englishman. Bullshit. She died with who she was fucking. That was her man. She was in the car. What was that little skinny white man? She loved him so goddamn much. Dirty. No, but they did it. That fucking queen did it. She did it. And the world loved Lady Di. She was jealous of Lady Di because she was cute. Flowers came from all over the world. Queen Elizabeth could drop dead tonight. Ain't no goddamn flowers coming. A shovel? Hurry up and bury this ugly bitch. And then they're gonna throw a cross and garlic on her so she won't get up. Oh, vampire looking bitch. Oh, see, you guys think I'm faking it. I don't like that bitch. You ain't supposed to touch the queen. I'll rub chicken grease all over that bitch.
All right, y'all. Now, to wrap this video up, I'm pretty sure a lot of y'all actually saw that clip before. You know, because we all know Paul Mooney was pretty open to exposing the occult and just basically saying whatever he wanted through comedy. Now, if I'm not mistaken, when I did the Paul Mooney on my old channel, when I did the video on him, I think I had this clip in that video. That was actually a really good video too. At the time that he died, that was actually definitely a good video. But anyways, I just thought I should say that. But, you know, I think the entire, you know, I think at the time when she died and just the years after, most of the world, at least most people that kind of had, you know, some critical thinking about themselves, they knew that there were dark forces at play that caused Princess Diana's death. Now, I could also sort of take this time to talk about the note that Princess Diana wrote. Now, I could put it up on the screen, but you can't quite make out everything she said because it's kind of like written in cursive a little bit. So it was kind of hard to read everything, and then it's kind of blurry as well. But as y'all know, she had a note where she kind of like basically predicted her dying in a car crash. She would always joke about her dying in a crash one day, maybe from brake failure or, you know, whatever, whatever. But it's on record from the people that were around her that she constantly joked about dying and predicting herself dying in a car crash, which obviously came true in 1997 when she died in a car crash with her lover, her driver, and the sole survivor that was in the passenger seat, the bodyguard. Now that in itself is probably, you know, the most eerie piece throughout this whole video is that she actually predicted her own death multiple times. Now, rather you want to say she spoke it up and that was just the energy she created, like some rappers did, like Pac and Biggie. But more than likely, you know, this is because she was aware of what was going on inside of her own family. Obviously, she knew what was going on. You know, if you want to bring up the fact that, you know, she was maybe pregnant by the dude, Faid, maybe they were married, you know, they didn't want to basically, you know, I guess sort of cross bloodlines. You could bring up all of these, you know, quote unquote conspiracies about her death. But at the end of the day, before all of that even happened or, you know, was even brought up as to one of the reasons why she could have possibly been killed, she was already saying that she would die from a car crash. So clearly there were things before that that made her feel that way. You know, like, I'm not going to sit here and talk about the way that I'm going to die and constantly joke about it if I don't feel that something is going on behind my back and people inside of my own family want me dead. I'm never going to do that. So to me, that is, you know, that is probably the biggest piece that surrounds her death, is the fact that she already knew the way that she was going to go out. Or better yet, it could have been all a huge ploy. Y'all know how I like to end these videos. We don't know. We didn't see Princess Diana. None of us saw her in the crash. That could have been like how they did with Chris Benoit. You know, right before the Raw show, he goes on to tell you that his family is not going to be able to see Monday night because he's going to do something crazy. Which, remember, I told y'all they forced him to say that. Now, this could have been a ploy with Princess Diana. Let's go ahead and put out this, you know, foreshadowing early that you're going to die in a car crash. So when you actually do, but you're really not dead, people can have something to go back on and be like, yo, she did predict her death, though. She was saying she gonna die in a car crash, and she did die. You know what I'm saying? When things like this happen, for me, I have to go both ways. Yeah, we're talking about her possibly being sacrificed, but at the same time, bro, she could be alive. She could be well and alive, because I know how this works. They play so many tricks on your mind. They lead you down so many roads so you never really find the truth, when at the end of the day, she might be just chilling somewhere and never actually really died. But, you know, that's just me playing both sides so we could kind of, you know, just really critically think about it, because why else would she constantly predict that she's going to die in a crash and then end up dying in a crash if it wasn't planned? If everyone didn't know what was going on. Remind you, the photo that this video very first started on, she's smiling in the camera. I'll show it right here as I'm talking so y'all can see it again. She is looking at the surveillance camera in the elevator, smiling. Like, she's happy. As if, like, hey, this is the last time y'all gonna catch me on camera. Go ahead and take a pic. Now, if that's not something that's eerie, then I don't know what is. Because like I said, this is one of those like confusing stories where, you know, if you get caught up going down every single eyewitness, this and that, you're going to be led even further away from the truth. So yeah, man, I think I'm going to go ahead and end this video right here. Y'all let me know what y'all think in the comments. It is Sunday. And if I'm not mistaken, August 31st, 1997 was on a Sunday morning. So y'all already know how these things go, man. Apologize, it's been a while since I dropped a new video, but you know, I just needed a little time away, man, just to chill, you know, get thoughts together, get myself together. And yeah, man, y'all already know what's going on, man. It's Black Balloon, and I'm gonna see y'all soon. I'm out.